So I was wondering about different reasons why the cross? Why did Jesus die on the cross? And I think it's a cool exercise for each of us to go and do. Like, if you go meditate on the cross, maybe dot them down. Go ask yourself how many reasons, and it's not about how many reasons you can find, but the point is, I think if you're gonna like start meditating on the cross and why Jesus had to die for us, we would find that it wasn't just to die for the sin. And we know Jesus came to die for the sin of the world, but because he's done that, there is just so many reasons why. And today I've got three in my preach, but I would love to go through all three of them today, but I'll most likely only touch on two of them. We'll just see what time does. Time never stands still, you know. So if time allows it, we might just go to all three of them. So let's look at the first one that I want to touch on tonight. And before I go to this, I want to say, like, when I met the Lord, and there's something that I was just like, you know, we start maturing in the Lord, and as we grow in the Lord, there's things that you sort of like let go of, in a sense, like in relational with the Lord. I was thinking about when I just met the Lord, there were certain things that I just couldn't stop, you know, like I was zealous, but I also started realizing like there's things in the Lord that starts maturing in me. But then I was reminded that the Lord wants us to go back and just go to the foot of the cross and like a child go stare at the cross and ask the Lord, like, Lord, come revive stuff in me. Because I realized in my own life, you know, life carries on, and life, you know, like it's like almost like the honeymoon period in the relationship with the Lord dries up, and now what, Lord? You know? But here's the thing, the cross is the thing that sets our hearts on fire in our relationship with Jesus. I realized the reason why there's droughts in my life is not because of Jesus, but because I don't revisit what Jesus has done in that area of my life. So it's almost like the victory I've received 5 years ago in a certain area of my life has, you know, like I've received this victory, but it's become like a dry ground in a sense, you know. But it's not like you go back to a place because you're back in that place. You go back to it because you rejoice in what God has done in you as a person. And if it wasn't for the cross in my life, I wouldn't be standing here today. So I want to look at the cross tonight, and I want to look at two reasons at least. So the first one I want to list is Jesus died to enable us to live for Christ and not for ourselves. And when I pondered on this, it's true, because in the world before Christ, I totally just lived for myself. There was nothing about my life that was devoted to God. And interestingly, there was aspects of my life where I would say I'm a Christian, or there was aspects of like, I know God. But actually, I was so far off. And I was reminded of Paul doing the things for God that was right, persecuting the church. And then suddenly he encounters Jesus, and Jesus is asking Paul, at that time it was Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Yet Paul, or Saul, at that time was killing and chasing down the church, the Christians, the believers. And Jesus encounters him and says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I was just in many aspects of my own life where I would think, you know what, I'm fine. I would do my, you know, like if I pray, I'll be right with God. But actually, I was so far off. I didn't know God. I would go against the very lifestyle of Jesus, the very kingdom of God. My life would like push that away. But yet in my mind, I would say, I'm a Christian. And I've shared this a few times with you guys. I was that guy that would stand around the fire and say, guys, we can't speak about God now if we drink brandies and coke or whatever it is, because we disrespect him. You know, so you like push God aside. But Jesus saved me. And I had my encounter. Just like everyone in this room has had their moment with the Lord when we realize, oh my goodness, I'm a rotten sinner. I only deserve God's justice and his wrath, and I deserve hell because he is righteous and he is holy and he's perfect and I'm not. And in that moment onwards, I realized apart from Jesus saving me from my sin and me not being righteous, is that he actually saved me to not live for myself anymore, but to live for him. So in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 15, so one of the reasons is he died so that we don't live for ourselves anymore. And it says this, he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And if we think of just the cross, what Jesus did when that happened, and how does that look like? Because we know it's by faith you're counted as righteous before God. So we put our faith and trust in Jesus because he's our Savior. And the Bible says God accounts us as righteous because of your faith in him. So I believe, and something that I struggled with in my early days of just loving God and doing life, and there was like this clash of my old life coming against this new life that I have to live for the Lord, is the fact that I realized I'm not a righteous person. And I started like asking questions, but how does this work? Because God says if you're in faith, like Abram and all the, you go read Hebrews 11, it says, it's by faith that they were counted as righteous and they did it by faith. So it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter about my past. None of that stuff. I put all of that aside. If I believe and I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and Savior, you shall be saved and God sees you perfect. Doesn't make sense. But that's the truth. But now here's the difference. So God gives you and me his righteousness because Jesus died and he washed you clean from all unrighteousness. He imputes his righteousness to you. He clothes us with his righteousness. We don't deserve it, but he gives it freely because he died. He washed us on the cross. So because he did that, it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. He sees you through his son Jesus on the cross. So if you think of Jesus on the cross, he came to die for your sin, but now he came to make you righteous. And how do you continue to live righteous? And this is the struggle that we all, every day, like, because the Bible also says in Romans 3, like, none is righteous. We all fall short of God's glory every day. So that tells me in my journey with the Lord that I have to come back to the Lord. What have you done for me, Lord? And that's what I meant, like, in the beginning of, like, We can forget about what God has done, that he's actually given us his righteousness. And there's areas of our lives that maybe not submitted fully to him yet, that needs to go into submission to him. And I made like a little, I don't know, it looks like a math. Like a math, where's the teachers? Like a formula thing. But this is just my own thing that I've made here. So I was like, old life equals fall short. So, and that's so true. Like in my old life, I would just do stuff. But now new life in the Lord Jesus equals righteousness. But I can't just say like, hey, Lord Jesus, I love you. I believe in the cross and you give me your righteousness on me. But there's an outliving that needs to take place, which Jesus says we live for him now. It's not living you as Anthony or Devon, as your old self you live for him. No, you live as the newborn Christian, the newborn Anthony, the newborn Devon to the Lord, which is one of righteousness. And that's only done through faith. When you believe and God imputes it. So there's something of us living for the Lord in righteousness equals the new life for Christ. It's not righteousness on you, but I continue to live as the old self. So the encouragement for us is when we look at the cross and see what Christ has done for us and we realize he's taken the sin for us on behalf of you and me, that we can actually enter this relationship knowing that you are standing holy and perfect before the living God. Not because you are, but because Christ is. And do we believe this? Do we believe it? Like, I know I'm a sinner. I know I fall short. But when I look at the cross And I believe and I put my faith in the Lord Jesus. I'm absolutely, fully, 100% righteous before God. God's mathematics doesn't make sense to us because there's something in our hearts that we want to, you know what, I need to do something. And then Paul says in Ephesians 2 verse 8, I think, he says, but you are saved by grace through, are you saved by faith through grace? But you're saved by grace through faith. Sorry, I've mixed it up. But there's nothing, and it says here that there's no works you can add so that no man shall boast. So our new life in the Lord is one of like every day we wake up and we're like, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. And by the cross and what Jesus has done for you, imputes his righteousness on us. Imagine God had to just say, Divan, today, filthy. Tomorrow, righteous, because I've done good deeds. It actually, if you look at it that sense, then it doesn't make sense. But because the blood of Christ has covered us, what he's done on the cross, we can live this new life and righteousness, knowing that you are. And I think just the challenge is, and I'm not going to go deep into that part, it's just we got to learn and mature in the area of renewing our mind daily. Someone asked me in the week, like, do I believe about suicidal thoughts being, I think it was this morning, but the point of that is like, where does that come from? Suicidal thoughts? Is it like, I said, I don't think a person just wakes up one morning and you decide, okay, I feel this way. I think it starts with little lies and you start believing like I'm not good enough. I'm you know, and then maybe at your work, there's someone that says, oh, you didn't do this right. And then the lie was planted yesterday. And you're like, now you actually start believing it. And so it goes forth and you start believing things about your life that's not true. And one day you just feel like you start believing this about yourself. But actually, if we look at what God has done for you and me, he's washed us completely from all unrighteousness and he's imputed his righteousness on us. So the encouragement for us today in that first reason or the first one of the reasons of many is that you are clean. You are righteous. If you've come before God and you said, Lord, you are my Lord and my Savior, God imputes his righteousness through his son Jesus onto you. And God is like, now live for me. Our new life in him is a life of righteousness. That is the standard. It's not a different standard. So it's a good question for us to ask. Like when we look at the cross, yes, he's my savior, but do I embrace the fact that I'm righteous in the sight of God? Not because I am, but because God imputes it through his son Jesus. Are you guys with me? Go. So do we every day choose the righteousness of the Lord because we put our faith and trust in him? Because I think something I struggled with thing when it came to righteousness was that I would believe in the Lord, but then I fall short in the area of righteousness. And what does that look like? You come short in an area of sin or it's a fear of man or I feel like I'm not performing or I'm maybe missing God's calling for my life or maybe the purpose for my life in the kingdom. The list can go on and on. And I realize something of righteousness for us is to put all those things aside. You see, this is where the thing of the challenging part comes. We struggle because we feel we need to do something to be that righteousness to the Lord. And it only happens because Jesus died on the cross. Something happened to the thing that's very, Damien didn't even touch it. Thanks, Damien. And I think the reason why I shared this one first. You guys can laugh at that. I think it's funny. It's not my voice going squeaky. It's Damien's machine is making me make funny noises here. I think I think the reason why I shared that reason first, and there's no particular reason, but I just felt like in my spirit, if we understand the thing of you are righteous, regardless of what you've done, how many things you think you've done wrong before the Lord, or how many times you look at your week and you feel not like a good Christian, the fact that you believe in the Lord Jesus makes you righteous. That's what Scripture says. He imputes his righteousness because of faith in him. But there is the responsibility for us not to live in his righteousness. Okay, so it's not like I keep on sinning and I keep failing purposefully and I wake up tomorrow morning and I'm like, I'm righteous, because now that would be a false gospel. Okay, so the new life in the Lord Jesus is God gives us his righteousness and we get to live in it. Not because we're good, but because of the blood of Jesus on the cross. The next reason that I looked at was to bring us to God. Jesus didn't just die on the cross for your sin, but when he died on that cross, and it's something that came through in the prayer meeting, was that God's plan was to reconcile you back to him. And not just like, oh, you're a number in God's family. You're not just a person in the back, but actually he called you by name and he says, you come to me now, because Jesus actually paid the price for your sin. And the big reason for that was so that he can have fellowship with you, so that he can have all of you, so that he can commune with you and do life with you, and that this relationship would now be renewed in Christ Jesus. So on the cross, it was to bring you back to God, to be close to God. And 1 Peter 3:18, it says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. And that's what I felt to like, just share the thing of the righteousness first, because Jesus is the only righteous one and we are not. The righteous one died for the unrighteous so that we can be the righteous people of God. And then it says to bring you to God. So we see this beautiful picture that God takes away the sin of the world, but imputes his righteousness to you. And in that way, he calls us to live for him and with him in righteousness. And God calls us to him, to bring us back to him. Imagine salvation. Imagine salvation just saved you from hell, but it never brought you back to God. It wouldn't be good news. But very often we treat salvation, I'm saved, but we are so far from God. I struggled my relationship with the Lord. I struggle to hear the Lord. I haven't spent time in the Word this week. I'm saved, but we're so far from the Lord. So what happens is we receive salvation and we know that I'm saved. The Lord says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you are saved, which means God saves you from hell, because that's what we all deserve. We all deserve, and when we stand before God that is perfect and we are not, the righteous one and the unrighteous, we deserve to go there. But God made us righteous, and here's the thing, what would salvation be if it was only saved from hell, but God didn't open the door for us to actually embrace him in that place? So we receive salvation, but you're not just saved from hell. You know, the invitation has come, live with me. And the promise of that lifestyle is eternity in heaven. You see the contrast, you're saved from hell, but the invitation is now live with me. And the picture in the future is heaven with God for all eternity and his household. It's not just I've been saved. And I think the sad part is there's many parts of the church that drift and go astray. They saved, but the lives are not pursuing this future, this inheritance of heaven. So salvation is given. You are safe from your sin, safe from hell, that dark place, the place with flames, the place where the moth and the worm never dies. But now God calls us to the new eternity. That's going to be a new heaven and earth when Jesus returns. And that's our future. So we see clearly that the invitation and salvation is not just that you know you're saved, but actually God calls us to him. He brings us to God. That's what Jesus came to do on the cross. Imagine forgiveness. Forgiveness is no good news if it only relieves us from guilt. So often We know we're forgiven, but we don't embrace the fact that with forgiveness comes complete freedom in your walk with the Lord. Complete freedom. Once God forgives you, you are forgiven. Forgiven. We don't have anything from the east to the west against us no more. Think of what Jesus did on that cross. He took every offense, everything that you're going to utter towards someone or someone has uttered to you, he took it upon himself so that you and I can have this relationship with God the Father and have complete freedom in our relationship with him. Complete. But so often we embrace the forgiveness of the Lord and the guilt is lifted, but we don't embrace the fact that he offers freedom in it. And that's what guilt does. It keeps us in bondage. If you haven't forgiven people or this thing, look at the cross. This is most probably one of the biggest things in the church that we got to struggle with in our hearts of like, Lord Jesus, help me. Don't try and do it in your own strength. Go back to the foot of the cross and look for yourself and see what he's done for you. That he died for you, a rotten sinner. And God will give you the grace and the mercy to actually go and forgive. And it's not just maybe you have forgiven, but there's guilt on the other side. And God wants to teach you how to just, you know what? I'm going to trust you for that person. Because you see, sometimes if we think of the guilt, it sets us into bondage. So Jesus on the cross dealt with that. Imagine justification is another one I thought about. Imagine it was only justification to just legally set you free from what you've done and make you acceptable to God and the things of this kingdom. But with that justification, when the blood of Jesus was shed, the door was so wide open that you come into the throne room of God, that you are justified in your sins, but because of the blood of Jesus and the access to God the Father is open for you to walk in. To think we can walk anywhere we walk today by God's mercy because you are justified by the blood of Jesus. And if we embrace God in this place, he meant it. We completely justified by the blood of Christ. Every part of our lives and justification, if we understand it correctly, we understand that we have complete fellowship with God. And because we have complete fellowship with the Lord Jesus, we have free fellowship with one another. And I think if we sometimes mix it around, we struggle to have true fellowship with one another because we don't feel like we are justified before the Lord. We sometimes come approach God or we think of the Lord like I'm still in my sin. But when Christ died on that cross, you were completely justified in your sins because he took every sin upon himself on the cross. You don't have to pay for it anymore. That's why it's just. Because if a judge in a court is standing here and he's about to give Georgie the judgment, but someone comes in and says, Judge, someone just paid the fine for her deeds that she did wrong. The judge can legally say, Georgie, you're free to go. That's what happened to you and me on the cross. Jesus legally paid your fine. And you and I can legally now have fellowship with God and one another. In the spiritual realm, he set us free. So justice is being served on the cross and it brings us back to God. And the last one I want to share is adoption. Adoption is not good news if it only adopts us into God's family, but you're not in God's arms. And I think this is a big one for many part of my Christian walk. I had to understand in my relationship with the Lord that when God saved me, they didn't just put me in a family. And actually, that was the very first thing that brought me into this church is when I walked in like 9 years ago. It was in a little hall up in the third, fourth floor in Richards Bay. I walked in and something that hit me like in my face was the fact that I saw people having true fellowship that I've never seen before. That was my conviction. Like I met the Lord like a year before that, and my journey started. But for the first time, when I looked at true fellowship, and it was this thing that I saw people that they loved God, but that there was acceptance in them. It's not like they made this thing happen. Hi, how are you? Good and you? There was a sincere love, and you know, I could see it in the people, and it was so real to me that it hit me in the heart. That the Lord told me, this is why I want you to serve me. But in that journey, I realized that I need to learn how to be a son. Because here's the thing, you come into the kingdom, and you come into the church, the life of the church, and everyone is excited for meetings and the coffee, and everyone's speaking about, you know, we don't just walk in here and you speak about the bad parts of your week. We're good at just like, yo, my week was good. Let me tell you about this thing, that thing. But man, I realized when I walked into that church that day, there was something of the presence of God on people, and that there was acceptance in their hearts, that they knew they belonged to God. And this thing of like knowing that you're adopted into God's house, but you're not in the arms of the Lord, means we can do our life very easily. We're just in the background. We're there. But are you embracing the fact that when Jesus died on the cross, when we were adopted as sons and daughters into the house of the living God, God accepted you into his arms? It wasn't just good news far away. You know, sometimes the good news can be your head knowledge, can even go to the heart. But we got to embrace the fact that God's opened the doors for us to come into a relationship with him. So adoption is good news because you are in his arms. And therefore you have fellowship with his family. It's not the other way, like, that was what happened to me. I walked into his family. But I hadn't had that conviction and the revelation in the fact that God actually opened his arms to me. And later on I realized, you know what was the arms? It was actually the family of God that received me. And I would actually start living in the presence of the Lord through other people, which was so beautiful. But this thing of adoption, I didn't have a say in it. If you think of adoption, how it works, I was thinking of Henry and Louise, like Judah, their little boy. They adopted him. Judah didn't stand up that day and say, "Look, I don't want you guys as parents." So, you know, like if you look at the viewpoint from the Lord, he looks at us and he's like, "I'm adopting you." But sometimes we can push. And for me, it was a thing of realizing that I need to let go and just be in the hands of the Lord, close to God, close to God the Father. So I think I want to end off just asking us a question of, do we believe the good news, but do we embrace God in it? That's only two things I thought of. There's a third one even, and many more, just regarding the crucifixion of Jesus, that he came to die for us as sinners, but just so much more. It goes beyond to bring us into family, to bring us into life. A new life, a life of righteousness. In Romans 5, 6, 11, it says here, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only in this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So here's the invitation for us. Do we embrace God with open arms every day? And do we just let go Lord, and say, take me. Take me into your arms, Lord. Do we look at our lives and realize that by the cross and what Jesus has done for us, the reconciliation of God the Father was done through Christ Jesus in every aspect of our lives? That's actually what I wanted to say. Like if you start thinking of every aspect of your life, the cross is involved. Maybe it's not. Certainly in my life, there's many areas where I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me. Help me. In friendships, in my relationship with my wife, my calling, my purpose. All of these things are linked to the fact that Jesus Christ died for you and for me. Not just to save me from my sin and to live the life I want to live. But Christ called us to live for him in righteousness. He died so that you and I can be a part of God's family. That we be close to God. The Psalm 91 says, for those that walk in the shadow of the Most High. Those that walk in the shadow of the Most High. And it's this picture of, man, I don't want to leave the sight of my God. I want to see him in every aspect of my life. But also understanding every aspect of that life, being in that shadow, is Jesus made it available for me to walk in that shadow freely and righteously. Not because I am, but because he is. I'm not going to let go of Christ. I'm not just going to believe the gospel. I'm going to embrace it. Would you embrace the gospel tonight? When we embrace the gospel, we embrace God the Father. You see, we need to let go of our thoughts and our thinking and how we want to do it. God's calling us to embrace him because Jesus has done it all. When we start embracing, then it starts flowing. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not making a new theology or doctrine that we got to do something for God to flow. You guys hear what I'm saying? God's inviting us to embrace him. Many of us, we struggle to understand how things work. And I feel God saying, stop trying to understand and start embracing. Start coming into the shadow of your Lord, your Savior. And start enjoying the righteousness God has given you. Stop trying fighting for it. Stop trying to obtain it. Start believing it and start living in it. That's my invitation to us tonight. The invitation is for myself, like, Lord, help me in areas of my life where I fail, where I think, oh, Lord, I've, and just embrace.